We thank you for this time that we've had, Lord, to be here, to worship you, to sing to you, to dance before you, to humbly come before the throne of grace. And I pray, Father, that as we get into your word now, that as an act of worship, we will listen, we will receive, and we praise you for it, Lord. May your word truly be that sword. May it cut deep and bring healing. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading at verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, this passage we read is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Most of us have memorized it and can repeat it so quickly we don't have to think about it before we repeat it. We could just rattle it off. What Jesus actually gave us here was a pattern for prayer that is designed to bring intimacy with God. Each of the seven topics that Jesus spoke of in this passage will help us to keep our focus on God and help us to draw from his well of love and his power and his provision. Now, I do want to say it's not wrong to repeat the Lord's Prayer. Many people do. They use it as a part of their prayer life, and that's good and that's okay. But if we concentrate on just repeating the Lord's Prayer as being our prayer, we've missed the point of what Jesus was trying to teach here. He was giving us an in-depth lesson on what prayer should be. He starts off by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. My Father. This is what Jesus is saying here is when you start praying, I don't know about you, but some people, when they start praying, they just come into their prayer closet and they just start praying, Lord, I need this, need this, need this. I'm praying for this person, that person, and this person. There's this need, that need, that need. This struggle, that struggle, that struggle. And Lord, thank you for resolving all this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. When we come in prayer before the Father, Jesus said, you will pray to the Father in my name. And when we come before the Father, the first thing we need to do is worship him. You know, it's okay. We think of worship sometimes as coming in here on Sunday mornings and having songs and worshiping the Lord and dancing before the Lord, and that is worship. But you can worship God right in your prayer closet. In fact, if you're not worshiping God in your prayer closet and you're only doing it here on Sunday mornings, you're missing something. You're missing an intimacy with the Father that can only be found in that quiet, secret place known as the secret place of prayer. Jesus was saying, our Father in heaven, open up in worship. He's our Father. We're talking about personal intimacy here. Our Father, my Father, my Heavenly Father. And if he's my Father, then that makes me his son. Hallelujah. I am the son of the living God. My Father, the one who spoke things into existence, is my Father. The one who has all power and all authority is my Father. And I am his son. He created me. Just the way I am. Amazing, isn't it? I think that every time I look in the mirror, I get a tickle out of that. I really do. What are you laughing about? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Think about it. He created me just the way I am. And we look in the mirror and we go, I want to change that, and I want to change that. And I'm really not happy with this, and we do this and that and the other thing to try and spruce up this rough diamond in the rough to make it try and look better, to be somewhat more pleasing to ourselves. But you know, when God looks at me, and I'm not saying it's wrong to dress nice. I'm not saying it's wrong to comb your hair or to wear a little makeup. I remember an old preacher once says, my wife, and he was an old guy, he says, my wife wears makeup. I don't think it's wrong to have a little paint on the old barn. No. Whoa. Sorry, what? Whoa. Somebody got a hammer. There's a nail sticking up under the carpet here. It's there just to trip me. But we do. We're not happy with what we have, what we see. But I need to remember, I am made in the image of God. Oh, Jesus opened up. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. My Father, I'm your Son. You created me. Every single one of us are created in the very image and likeness of God. You know, when God created the heavens, and when God created the earth, and you're looking in Genesis chapter 1, and he said, and God said, And the earth became. And then God said, and the waters were made, and the firmament of the earth was made, the ground. And he set limitations on the waters so that there was defined waters and defined earth. Then he said, that let there be life, and he created the birds of the air, and he created the fish of the sea and the animals on the ground, and he created all of these things. And then he's looked at all of this and he goes, this is good. It's missing something. It's missing something. All of this is beautiful and all of this is right. But there's something here I need fellowship with. Then he created Adam. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth. And he formed him. He said, let us make man in our image. The first speaking of the plurality of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. And he formed Adam. And then he did something that was majestic. He breathed his life into Adam. And created Adam. Then from Adam, he takes a rib out of Adam, and the word rib means capacity, and he made Eve. Breathed life into her. And the two became one flesh. And they came together, and their purpose was to tend a garden, worship God, and walk with him in the cool of the day. Our Father, I'm his Son. I'm created in his image and in his likeness. I'm so glad that God doesn't stand there when I'm looking in the mirror going, yeah. That he's standing there going, yeah, yeah. He wasn't up in heaven and he goes, takes a little bit of this and he takes a little bit of that and he throws it all together and puts it in my mother's womb and goes, ew. What happened? The recipe wasn't right. Something's wrong here. Now, I do a lot of ministry in hospitals. I go to hospitals all over the place. And one of the neat things about going to a hospital is when it comes time when a baby's born. You know, and I don't go in the room when the mom's in labor. That's not my job. That's dad's job. Okay, you go there because you handle that yelling and screaming. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll come after the fact, you know, after the baby's born. And I look at this beautiful little baby. You know, there's been times that, you know, in the hospitals, they got that window that separates people from the nursery. And it's like they want to keep them from being contaminated from adults or something. I don't know. But all the little kids in there, you know, and I go up there, and you see all the dads. The dads are standing there going, and they're making all these funny looking faces at these little babies. And the little baby can't even see that far yet. You know, and it's just all the only thing that the father's really accomplishing is seeing his own reflection in the glass, you know. And they're standing there, and I this has happened. I've gone up, and the father, I never even knew him. And he would go, "Hey, that's my son. Look at him. He's like a spitting image of his dad." And I look at the baby. I go, "I don't know which one of you I want to feel sorry for. You know, that's an ugly kid. Man, some babies, when they're especially in their first birth, they're ugly. I mean, they're awful. But you know, in the eyes of the father, of that father, that's a beautiful creation. And don't you dare tell that father that he's got an ugly kid. Because he's probably going to make you look like you were slain the spirit, and you're going to be laid out on the floor. Right? But in the eyes of the Father, that child is beautiful. It doesn't matter what the makeup is. It doesn't matter what the features are on that child. That child is part of me and part of his mother. That child is the combination of our love for each other that has produced this beautiful little baby. Now, think of God the Father. Jesus said, open up in prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, my Father, I'm your son, or I'm your daughter." And he looks down at you, and he doesn't go, "I'm sorry, I just had a funny bone that day, you know, when I made you." No, he looks at you and he goes, "You're beautiful. Just the way you are, you're beautiful." You see, there's a communion that happens between a father and his baby, his little kid, or even as a kid grows up. There's that communion between a mother and a child. And it's the same. It's the same idea of God the Father. We need to understand, I am made in the image of God. You are made in the image of God. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what you are seeing is a facet of the living King of Glory. I'm not saying you should think highly of yourself, more highly than yourself than you ought to think, but we need to realize who we are in Christ. I am made in the image of God. He said, "Let us make man in our image." He didn't say some men, not just half of them, not a part of them. Let's make man. Covers everybody. You're a facet of the living King. My Father, my Son. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Hallelujah. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" You know what Abba means? In the Hebrew, it means dad. Daddy God. My Father. It's not just some heavenly Father way up here somewhere. He's my Father. And he loves me just the way I am. Can we get that through these thick heads? And one buddy over here goes, "Well, I don't know." Can I get it through my thick head? I don't know. Whether you can or not, I don't know if I can totally get it through my thick head, but I'm trying. He's God the Father. "Hallowed be your name." This is part of worship. hallowed be your name. Do we really understand the name of God? The word hallowed in the Greek is hagiazo, and it means to set apart. It means to make holy. It means to consecrate. It is translated elsewhere as sanctified. The word koinon in the Greek is the exact opposite of hagiazo. Koinon means common or unclean. And the word koinon is exactly the opposite, the extreme opposite of what hagiazo means. It's the difference between power and impotence. It's the difference between black and white. It's the difference like this, between crud and sterile. Hey, I understand that language, you know, crud and sterile. I was crud. But because of the blood of Jesus, who washed me clean, I am now sterile of the things of the world. And when I'm sterile of the things of the world, I can be used in the power of God. Hallelujah. The power of God cannot be used in the crud. But I'm not crud anymore. I'm a son. Do you understand that this morning? Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not crud anymore. I'm a son. I am made in the image of God. Hallowed be your name. Praise the Lord. There are eight names attributed to God in the Old Testament. And every single one of them are a direct reflection of the new covenant that Jesus Christ cut for us on the cross. Every single one of them. The first one is Jehovah Sid Kanu. Say that's a neat name. Jehovah Sid Kanu. It means Jehovah our righteousness. Jehovah God our righteousness. Righteousness equals Jesus plus nothing. It means Jesus plus nothing. I cannot add to his righteousness, nor should I take away from his righteousness. In fact, in Isaiah 64, verse 6 through 8, turn with me to Isaiah 64. That's a good place to go. Isaiah 64. Isaiah is a wonderful book. But in Isaiah 64, verses 6, it says, "But we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hands." Hallelujah. Jehovah, our righteousness. Our own righteousness is as of filthy rags. And I'm not going to get into what the Hebrew word means for filthy there, but you can look it up. But it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And our righteousness, our self-righteousness, is disgusting to the Lord. Oh, look at me. Look at what I do. I'm this. I'm that. God, if he wanted to, could say, "Oh, yeah? Let me show you something." Aren't you glad he doesn't do that? You know why he doesn't do that? Because we're his sons. We're his daughters. He may chastise those whom he loves, but he's not going to squash you. He's our righteousness. Jehovah M. Kadesh. Jehovah who sanctifies. Jehovah God who sanctifies. The word sanctified means to be set apart. We think of it being set apart from the ways of the world, and it is. But it's the deeper meaning of that is not just taken out of the things of the world or to resist the things of the world, but I'm set apart for his pleasure. I am set apart from the things of the world for him and him alone. I am taken out of darkness and I'm placed in his marvelous light so that I can have fellowship with him and he can have fellowship with me. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. I've been taken out of that, and I've been placed in His marvelous light. Hallelujah. He paid the price on the cross for me so that I can be sanctified and set apart. I'm special. You don't dare laugh, right? Guess what? You're special too. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are His special people. But that specialness comes because Jehovah God is the one who sanctifies. He is the one that has taken me out of darkness and placed in His marvelous light. The only thing that I, part in that, that I had was to say, Jesus, I cannot live without You. I need My name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm asking You to be my Lord. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And Your Word says that if I will confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, that I am now saved. You know what that means? Jehovah has now sanctified me. Jehovah M. Kadesh has now taken me out of darkness and placed me in His marvelous light. He has taken my name and written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's my name who was written in the evil one's book, if there is such a one. It doesn't refer to in Scripture, but if it was, I just got blotted out, not by white out, but by red out. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the one that has sanctified me. Jehovah M. Kadesh, He's the one that has done the work. I just need to abide in it. I need to stop doing this in the things of the world. Anybody ever have that tendency to do that besides me? Hello? Hello? To go like this? That's why I hear people say, oh, can you lose your salvation? I said, why would you even want to know? What's the reason for wanting to know if you can lose your salvation? Because if you're going to answer the question of if I can lose my salvation, then what is it that determines crossing that line to where I am saved to where I am not saved anymore? Where's the line? I said, well, why do you want to know? The only reason I could think of that you'd want to know is because you want to know how close you can get to that line and still be saved. Why don't you just get away from the line? Why is it even an issue? As long as my eyes are placed upon the one who has sanctified me, Jehovah M. Kadesh, He has sanctified me, paid the price on the cross for my salvation, and for me to be able to be free in Him, why would it even be an issue? I don't want to go back there anyways. The enemy has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, and the closer I get to that line, the closer I get to being stolen, killed, and destroyed, and the closer I get to that line, the further I'm moving away from God. I'm not called by God to move away from Him. I'm called by God to move to Him. He's the source of life. He's the source of energy. He's the source of purpose. He's the source of anything and everything that I could possibly need. He is Jehovah M. Kadesh. He's the one who has sanctified me. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. But see, Jesus understood what the name of God means. We need to understand it too. Jehovah Shalom, which means Jehovah is our peace. My peace. He is not going to deliver me from all of the troubles of this world. Don't ever think that the becoming a Christian means you get to suck on a lollipop all the time. That everything is nice and sweet and everything is nice and cozy and everything's going to go just exactly the way you want it and there's not going to be any problems whatsoever. You're always going to have enough money in the checkbook. You're always going to have this. You're always going to have that. Everything is just going to be really fine and you're just going to cruise through life to heaven. Anybody find it that way? Please raise your hand. Let me know. I want to spend a month with you. I haven't found that. But what I have found is that when things go wrong, I have Jehovah Shalom, God, my peace, to go to. And when things are getting really bad, really struggle, I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding that will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. I have that. Why? Because hallowed be His name. And when I hallow His name, when I worship Him, and when I recognize that He is holy, and I am His son, I am holy. And I can enter into that peace in the most troubled, difficult times of my life. I see people when things are going, and I'm not saying that when things get really bad, that you don't, I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever, how can I say this? You know, fret about something, worry about something, cry out to God for help. But there's that inner peace that needs to be maintained all the time. That inner peace, that sanctuary of peace that I can run to at a moment's notice is called that secret place of prayer. Where no matter what's going on, I can enter into that peace. I can enter into His presence and know that sooner or later, somehow, some way, everything is going to be okay. It is well with my soul. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. How about this one? Jehovah Shema. You know what Jehovah Shema means? Jehovah is there. God is there. He's there. He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Anybody ever try to outrun God? You ever try to get away from God? You ever try, I've had it, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm heading out, and you run smack right into God. Every time you turn around, you keep running into God. Every time you turn around, you're running into Christians. And they go, oh, brother, how's it going? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, gee, I've been praying for you, I've been missing you. Oh, gee, God, really love you, you know, really. You know what's happening? God is sending His people. He orchestrates things. You know, I go into Walmart, you know, and there's been times I've gone into Walmart and there's somebody who has walked away from the Lord a couple of years ago, you know, and I see him, you know, and I'm going to confess to you, there's been times when I go on, oh man, there they are, you know, and it's like, that's crud. That's darkness. Jesus still loves them. Jesus wants them back. And you know something? God just put me here in Walmart. Not to buy something that I need, but to speak words of life to someone who is really in need. They came to Walmart to buy something cheap. And what's going to be offered to them is something that is very, very expensive, and they don't even have to pay for it. Jesus did. See, He's always there. You can't outrun God. He's always there. Why? Because He says, I am omniscient. I'm everywhere. I'm God of the heavens. I'm God of the earth. I'm even God under the earth. Wherever you go, you're going to run right smack dab into me. Don't you dare try to run away from me, because when you do, I'm going to be right there. Wherever you go, I'm going to be right there. Why? Because He is Jehovah Shema. God is there. How about Jehovah Rophi? Jehovah heals. God heals. He is the healer. Anybody been healed by God? Anybody waiting for healing by God? I keep my hand up too. My shoulder still is not healed. My knee is still not healed. But it's going to be healed because there's an appointed time. And Jehovah's the healer. God is my healer. It says in His Word, by His stripes I am healed. It says in His Word that the healing is a children's bread. It is already part of the covenant. Hallelujah. But He's my healer. But you know what God wants to heal more than my body? He wants to heal my heart. He wants me to have a soft heart. Number one, for Him. And number two, for those around me. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And the second is important too, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he wants to heal my heart. There are people in counseling, I know that they struggle with stuff, and they just can't seem to break loose of that stuff. And you know, lots of times what it is there's just a heart needs to be healed. They need to perhaps forgive others. Maybe there's a trust in God that they're struggling with. They need to just let go. And you know, that sounds, almost sounds cheap to say, well, just let go.
Oh, brother, just let go. Just let God. God will take care of it. Not a problem.
Well, yeah, he does, but no, he doesn't. Yeah, he'll take care of it. Maybe he's calling you to press into a deeper level. Maybe you're looking at him as a sugar pop. You just take the wrapper off and suck on it. Boy, that tastes good. You know them all day suckers? You know those sugar pops? I love those things. The sugar daddies? I love those things. The only problem is that they stick to your teeth. Which wasn't a problem until I had a couple of false teeth. Now that's a problem. You know, I get that thing in my mouth and I'm sucking on it and I got this little plate and I go to pull the thing out. Guess what? It's not the only thing that comes out. I got, oh, put it back in. And I got this thing stuck in my mouth. What do I do? Because it's also stuck to the plate. You know, I was like, this is not fair. We sometimes look at God like he's a sugar daddy, you know, and he gets stuck to something, and then we go and pull out the sugar daddy, and this awful thing comes out, and we go, no, I don't want to see that, put it back in. When in truth, what he wants to do is to pull it out of you. He doesn't want it in you. He wants to deliver you from it. Hallelujah. I wish he'd deliver me from that plate. But he probably never will. I don't know. Maybe I'll wake up some morning and find those three teeth grow back in. I didn't even know about it, right? Yeah, you wake up in the morning because I go like this, you know. I think I can put all my clothes on. I still feel naked until I put those three teeth in. You know? Anybody have a few false teeth? You feel that way too? You know, you almost feel naked until you put those things back in. Yeah, I can just see it. God's going to heal those things. I'm going to. Well, you see, sometimes in God being the healer, that he does deliver us. And he fills that area with his healing. And then we try to take the thing that we filled that area with before, and we try to put it back in, whether it's here or in our heart. We try to put it back in, and it doesn't fit, and it grinds, and it hurts, and it's awful, and it's like, ugh. And rather than go, whoa, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm trying to put that thing back in me that God took out of me, and now he wants to fill me with his presence. I'm trying to put that thing back in, and it's not comfortable. He's telling me, get it out. But if you don't get it out, guess what? It becomes comfortable again. Because things in your life begin to mold around it again. And when it gets molded around it, you're stuck with it again. That's why Jesus said that the pig returns to the mire. Back to the pig slot. Don't do that. You've been taken out of it. He's healed you. He set you free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He set me free. I don't need that stuff anymore. Why? Because he's filled me. He's my healer. He's filled that hole that I filled with so many other things. He emptied it out. He delivered me out of it. And he fills me with his presence. And I don't need that stuff anymore because I've got the healer dwelling within me. Praise the Lord. He's Jehovah Rophi, our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means Jehovah's provision shall be seen. It doesn't say Jehovah Jireh being Jehovah the provider. It's his provision shall be seen, is how it's actually translated. He is the provider. But what he wants to do is to be seen in his provision. You hear me on that? He wants to be seen in that provision. I get a paycheck from this church. I got news for you. That is not my provision. He is. And I see his provision through the paycheck that I get. But it all belongs to him. I don't give him nothing. That whole idea about tithing, I'm going to give God 10%. Let me tell you something. He has 100%. It all belongs to Him. Who am I to say that 90% of that is mine? It's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. It's mine. I'm keeping it for me. What do you do if you have that attitude? What happens if God says, oh, you know something? You're going to get something in the mail today. And in that envelope is a mission organization. And there's a missionary that I want you to start supporting. Oh, but I already gave 10%. So what? I want you to support that missionary. Over and above. Oh, but God, that's mine. No, it's not. You see, when we understand that He is Jehovah Jireh, that He is He wants His provision to be seen. It's to understand this: all I have belongs to Him. It's not there for my comfort. It's there to bring glory to Him. Part of His glory is that my needs and my household's needs are met. But further than that, it all is there to bring glory to Him. And He is the one that orchestrates where it's supposed to go. He gives me wisdom. He gives me a budget. And I try and fulfill that budget as best I can. But once in a while, God says, Matthew, the so-and-so is really struggling in their finances. And anybody ever have God say this to your heart? You know, there's so-and-so is really struggling in their finances, and they've been praying, and I have provision. See, I want my provision to be seen to them, so I want you to give them X amount of dollars. I want you to put it in an envelope. I don't make a check out. You put it in cash, and you hand it to them and say, this comes from a brother. Or have somebody else deliver it. So that I don't get glory in it. Anybody ever have God say that? Now, if it's all mine, then I'm not going to be obedient to that. But when I understand that I had the Lord say to me once to give a person $200, okay? Now, I had some bills that had to be paid. And if I give $200 to that person, then I'm not going to have enough money to pay my bills. And Lord, but if I don't pay my bills, that's not a very good example to you of me being a Christian to these people that I'm indebted to. And if I give him $200, then I'm not going to be able to pay this bill here. And that's not a good witness, Lord. And the Lord says, I'm asking you to be obedient. Now. See, God's a God of the now. And when I was obedient to the now, I'm not saying you see a brother in need, you just give. I'm saying you give according to the leading of the Spirit of God. And when you give, Jehovah Jireh provides. And now this brother or this sister, their provision, God's provision is seen to them. But the really neat thing about that is now God is going to demonstrate His provision to me in a way that I can see, because these bills are still going to get paid. Somehow, some way. See, He gets to reveal His provision. But His provision is seen clearly through God's people who recognize that all provision comes from Him, not from moi. He's Jehovah Jireh. Aren't you glad today? If you fall into, if you come into His economy. I guess that's the best way to say. You know, His economy. His economy is not governed by the economy of this world. This economy of this world can fall all to pieces. And I know that God is still going to provide all I need. That doesn't mean that He's going to provide me with a mansion here on earth. That doesn't mean that He's going to provide me with a Mercedes. Actually, I wouldn't want a Mercedes anyways. I'd rather have a Maserati. What can I say? If you can dream, dream big, you know? I'd love to have a Maserati. I really would. Maybe you wouldn't like it. They had a Maserati down here at a car show, antique car show and all down in Swansea. and there was a Maserati there. Oh, man, I spotted it. I'm driving along, and I saw that Maserati. I went like this, and I'm pulled right over it because I want to go look at it. I want to touch it, you know. It's a beautiful car. Kathy looked at that, and she goes, what will you want that for? It didn't interest her one single bit. As far as her, she's concerned, a Volkswagen bug me just as fine. But I want to dream big. I like Maseratis, okay? So, but God's probably not going to provide me with a Maserati. You know why? Because I want a Maserati for me. I want it for my pleasure. I want it for my flesh. God wants to circumcise my flesh. I've owned Volkswagen bugs before. He wants his provision to be seen. And that provision is seen best when we trust him with it all. He is Jehovah Nissi. I love this. Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. The scripture says, his banner over me is love. Jehovah Nissi is my banner. He's the standard that I lift up. I love the fact that he is my banner. Over me is this banner. It says, Jehovah God, my Savior, my Deliverer. He is my all and all. He is Jehovah Nissi. You know, I think of the banner. I think of a banner as like a flag. You know, I love the United States of America. I love that flag. I love the flag. I love the star-spangled flag that represents this wonderful country. But I am not I am a citizen in the flesh of this country, but in this world I am a sojourner. I am just passing through here. Hallelujah. I may be a citizen of the United States, but more importantly is I am a citizen of heaven. And I am so glad that he has put his banner over me. They call the flag Old Glory. Well, I got news for you. The banner is New Glory. It's new every morning. Hallelujah. I collect things. All right? I collect things. My wife says I got a fetish about coffee cups and hats. And I got all kinds of coffee cups, and every once in a while I go to get a particular coffee cup and find out it's missing. So my wife's been cleaning house again. But she doesn't touch my hats. Because the coffee cups, they're just, you know, the Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups, the Winchester coffee cup. I just like coffee cups, okay? So I'm weird. But I like hats, too. And I have this hat here. It says, Jesus Christ is Lord. Testify of his love. This was given to me by John Wilson, right? I love this hat, you know? It's like a banner, you know? It proclaims. So I've got this hat, and I'm not afraid to wear it. I like to wear it. Maybe I'm weird. And I'm not saying that everybody has to wear a hat. I'm not saying that everybody has to have a bumper sticker that says Jesus is Lord. No, I'm not saying that you have to have a bumper sticker or you know what? You know those fishes? You have the Christian fish, and then somebody gets a little bit out of shape about that because they're Darwin. So theory, you know, they believe in evolution. So now they've got this Darwin fish that's eating the Christian fish. And I've seen another one where the Darwin fish is eating the Christian fish, but then it turns around as a bigger Christian fish eating the Darwin fish. You ever seen those? You know, it's like a war with the fishes. You know, and that's you know, I got a Christian fish on my car, okay? But I'm not going to go warring with, I just want to proclaim. That's all I want to do. I just want to proclaim. I'm not going to war with the Darwin people. God loves them just as much as he loves me. He died on the cross for them just as much as he died on the cross for me. And sooner or later, hopefully in this life, they're going to come to realize that he is king of all. Because if they don't, their knee's still going to bow when they come face to face with him and realize that their atheistic beliefs didn't get them into heaven. And there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. But he's my banner. So I'm not afraid to wear a hat that says that. I got another hat here. It says, I love Jesus. I am not afraid to say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Yeah, I do. So I'm weird. All right. Well, big deal. I don't care. I love Jesus. And I'm not afraid to have him as my banner. This is what you see is what you get. You know, then I got this hat right here. I got this one. I bought this one actually a few days ago. Last week, 2 weeks ago. Right down here at the flea market on Saturday. They had a guy, and he was selling hats. And it was a $3 hat. That's all I paid for. It was $3 for this. Of course, once you wear it for a little while, you understand why, because it's really cheap. But I bought it. And he had all these other hats that were very ungodly things. I mean, they were just awful. But he had this one stack. In fact, I think it was Lauren that spotted it. And it says Jesus in the cross. Big red cross. You know, I'm not afraid to wear it. I'm not afraid to wear it. Why? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. The Jew first and also the Greek. And so I'm not afraid. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Nissi, my banner. I got another hat. I like this hat. This is an old hat. This thing has got more sweat and gunk and stuff in it. And Kathy even once washed it, and I was afraid it was going to fall apart. You know, this is my favorite hat. And I used to wear this on the job when I was doing carpentry. So you know how old this hat is. This hat says radically saved. I like this hat. I'm radically saved. I'm different. I'm weird, okay? I'm radically saved. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to wear it. Why? Because Jesus is my banner. And again, please understand, I'm not saying that everybody has to wear Jesus hats like I wear, or bumper stickers, or whatever. But what I am saying is for us to recognize that Jesus Christ's banner over us is His love. And it is represented in that name of Jesus. It's represented in the cross. It's represented in all kinds of different ways that the Scripture speaks of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then it goes on to say, Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I am His sheep. And I got news for you. Sheep are dumb critters. I am a sheep, and sheep are dumb critters. They are stupid. Anybody ever watch sheep? They're stupid. They're dumb animals. They have to have a shepherd. If they don't have a shepherd, then they will just die. And a shepherd loves his sheep. A true shepherd is not a hireling. He'll die for his sheep. And Jesus is my shepherd. And He died for me. If there's nobody else in the face of this earth that ever have received Him as Lord, if it was only me, He would have done exactly the same thing. Why? Because He's a shepherd. He's not a hireling. And He loves me. See, in all of these things, He is my forgiver. He is my peace. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is my banner. He is my shepherd. He is all I need. He is all I ever want. He is Jehovah God, the great I Am, the river of life. He's the restorer of my soul. He is the rock that won't move. He is the bread of life. He is the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one that will meet you in the furnace of affliction, and yet He will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the one that will meet you right in the cave where all the lions are, and He will deliver you out of the power of darkness and place you in His marvelous light. He is all that you could ever think. All of these names of Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Kadesh, Jehovah Shalom, it's very tongue-tying to try and say them all at once. But He is all that they are to each and every one of us. But we are not to add to or take away from what He is. That's what Jesus was saying when He said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. In Acts chapter 4, it says, There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we are to be saved. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallowed be his name. I believe that's all, what Jesus was trying to teach when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. I love the Lord's Prayer, but we need to look deeper into it. Our Father, the one who created me just the way that I am, gives me the privilege to say, hallowed be your name.